All right. Well, hey, today is a big day. Today is a huge day. And as excited as I was about last week, as excited as I was about Easter Sunday and all the entails and holes, I love Easter. But as excited as I was last week, I might be even more excited about today. And here's why. Because today, we're going to see people make a decision to give themselves to Jesus and to be baptized. We know that some are already ready to do that, and they're already prepared, and they're ready to go. But I also know this. I know that there's some of you that came here today thinking, well, this is just another Sunday, right? Like, I'm just coming here and this is what I do. I come to church on Sunday, and you had no thought that you would get baptized today. There's some of you that came here today because you were here last week on Easter, and you're like, well, that wasn't so bad. And so you came back here again this week, and we're thrilled to have you back. And you had no thought that you would get baptized today, or that you would make a decision for Jesus today. And so I want to tell you this, that might happen to you today though. And I'm praying that that happens. I'm praying that we see people make a decision for Jesus. And this is the most important decision that you could possibly make. And here's, like, I started to think about this. This decision is more important than your wedding day. Like, this day has the potential to be more important than, if you make that decision, to be more important than the birth of your children, to be more important than the career choice you made, to be more important than the college you chose to go to way back when, or the college you're choosing to go to in the fall or whatever. Because today, this choice has eternal consequences, has eternal ramifications. Today is huge, and I'm really, really excited about it. So let me say this. Here's how I want to start this today. I just want you to, if you could, I just want you to take a minute and just put everything out of your mind, okay? Because I know how it goes. I know there's some of us that on the way here, you're driving here, and you and your spouse are just bickering back and forth at each other, right? And you're just kind of going back and forth. You're jabbing back and forth at each other. And then you come in this room, and now you got to, like, worship Jesus, right? That's a little tough. Or how about this? I know there's some of you young parents, you're driving in here and your kids are in the back and they're screaming, they're fighting, and moms, you work so hard to get that braid just right on your daughter, and you get here and it's like all jacked up and crazy, and you're just like, really? I just need to get you in children's ministry. That was your mindset a little bit, and now you're here. And I know that we come in this room with a lot of stuff. I know that we enter this place with a lot of things that we're thinking about, whether it's our finances or, like I said, our marriage or our rebellious teenager or whatever we're going through in life. We bring a lot of that in here on Sunday mornings. It takes us a little while to kind of disconnect. So here's what I want you to do. Can we just do this for a second? Let's just disconnect. Let's just take a sec, just take a moment, and I just want you to, and I know this is easier said than done, right? But I just want you to take this moment and just let go. All that stuff that you came in here with, all those sort of things that are bothering you or sort of sitting in your mind, just let them go for a minute. And here's what I want you to do. For the next 25 minutes or so, I just want you to let Jesus work on you. Could you do that? Just for the next 25 minutes, let's just let Jesus. So say this prayer with me, if you would. Ready? Let's just say this together. We'll go Lutheran roots here. Okay, let's do a little liturgical thing here. All right, just say this. Say, Jesus. Oh, that's beautiful. You guys, like, you've done this before. Have your way with me. That's beautiful. We'll see if we do that in second service, because you guys didn't seem that enthused. But let's say it again. Ready? Jesus. Here we go. Jesus. Do your thing. All right, do your thing. Father, we just want you to work today. We want you to work on us. We want you to mold us and shape us into the men and the women that you want us to be. So, Father, don't allow us right now to miss out on the opportunity, on the blessings that you're going to pour down on us. Don't allow us this opportunity to miss out on this pivotal choice that we have to make today, because we were so concerned with the stuff that we brought in here. So, Father, for the next 20, 25 minutes, just let us put everything else out of our mind and just focus on you. Father, I know that there are some that didn't come in here with any idea that they would make a decision for you today, but Father, I pray that you convict where there needs to be conviction, that you move where there needs to be movement. Father, that you would just, again, prompt us towards what you would have for us. Father, we love you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, life is all about choices. Would you agree with that? Life is all about choices. Whenever I have the opportunity to speak to young people, speak to teenagers, football teams, whatever, I'll get these opportunities every now and then. I'll try to slip in there at some point. Man, life is all about choices. And I'll tell young guys, like, life is all about choices. It matters, you know, if you go to this party and you hook up with this girl or whatever. I mean, you're making a choice that could really have eternal ramifications, or maybe not eternal, but lifelong, right? I mean, that shapes some things in you. That could really be a pivotal pivotal moment in you. There are the choices that we make that have the opportunity to change the trajectory of our entire lives. And like I said, I believe today we have an opportunity, a choice like that. So let's talk a little bit about some bad choices, right? Let's just own it. Let's say we've all made bad choices. I mean, I've made some bad choices in my life. I thought I'd share. I wish I had pictures, but I was saving myself some dignity. I've made some really bad choices in my life. And a big one is this: haircuts. I don't know about you guys, but I made some really bad choices when it comes to haircuts. And my wife makes fun of me all the time because we'll go back and look at old family photos. And like, there's one that we call the George Washington cut, which I won't even really go into too much detail, but I look like George Washington, my hair. There's another one where, not to be weird or whatever, but I did something and I cut my own hair. This is the problem. And I did something where I did something to the sides and I look kind of like Hitler, which is like not a good thing to do. And so I've chosen some really bad haircuts throughout the years. I mean, just bad, bad things. And my wife likes to make fun of me about it. But I think there are some really big, historically bad decisions that have been made. Maybe you've heard of this guy, Thomas Austin. Thomas Austin was around somewhere around 150 years ago. He lived in Australia, and he was pretty well-to-do, and he really liked he liked to eat nice food. And so I believe it was something like this. He decided to, he lived in Australia. There were no rabbits, and he really liked eating rabbit. And so he brought in some rabbits, and now 150 years later, the country of Australia hates Thomas Austin because rabbits have taken over Australia. They're the biggest pest in Australia. They cost the country millions and millions and millions of dollars every year because rabbits eat all their crops and their vegetables, and they have to put up special fences and gates to keep them out. It's just a big headache. Or how about this for a bad decision? That was a bad one by Thomas Austin, but how about this one for a bad decision? Years ago when the movie E.T. came out, Steven Spielberg went to Mars Candy. They're the ones who make M&Ms. And he went to Mars Candy and he said, hey, there's this moment where we're going to have the E.T. eat a piece of candy. And we're wondering if you would like to be that piece of candy, M&Ms. And he went to Mars Candy and asked them, and they said, you know, we're going to pass. And so then he went over to Hershey's and says, and they make Reese's Pieces. And he said, hey, Hershey's, how about you guys? Would you be interested? And they said, yeah, we'll take you up on it. And the month that the movie came out, Reese's Pieces sales shot up 65%. And I'm sure Mars was like, come on, right? I mean, I'm sure they kind of kicked themselves about it. But this is maybe my favorite one. Maybe some of you have read the Harry Potter books, or you've heard about the Harry Potter books, obviously. J.K. Rowling, her books were actually turned down by 12 different publishing companies, before finally being picked up. And now it's one of the best-selling books of all time. And I'm sure a lot of people lost their jobs over that, right? Like, they said, no, we're good. We don't need that book. And then, of course, it blows up, and it's one of the biggest books of the last 20 years or so. I mean, it's huge. Like, we make some bad decisions. But here's the thing about our bad decisions. Typically, we could just make a bad decision, we'll kind of learn from our blunder, and then we'll move past it. We'll say, well, that wasn't so good, but I'm going to move past it. And we do. We just kind of move past it. But today, I want to talk to you about a choice. I want to talk to you about an opportunity that we're going to have to say, Jesus, I'm either in or I'm not. And like I said earlier, this is really the biggest choice that we have to make in our entire lives. Jesus, I'm either for you or I'm not. And so here's what I want to do. I want to introduce you to two characters today, two people, real people. I want to introduce you to them today. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about them. The first one is this guy. Maybe you've heard of him. His name's Jesus. Now, Jesus, if you were to say, how would we best describe Jesus? Like, what character traits, what words best describe who this guy is? It would be words like this: love, peace, patience, goodness, kindness. I mean, these are parts of who Jesus is: righteous, just, grace, mercy, service. I mean, he serves, selfless. I mean, he's constantly giving of himself. I mean, these are words that we would choose. If you were to say, how do we describe this Jesus character? These are words that most of us would describe him with. And as far as I'm concerned, when I really think about Jesus, the one that kind of comes to the surface is this one. It's love. See, Scripture says that Jesus, while we were still sinners, which blows my mind, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me say that again. While we were still sinners, while we were still in our muck, while we were still kind of just trudging around in our junk and our issues and all this stuff, and we're going to talk about that next week when we kick off this new series, as we were who we are, and we had not come to know Jesus or been redeemed by Jesus, and yet here he is. He says, I love you so much. I care so deeply about you. I'm so crazy about you that while you're still in your issues, while you're still in your junk, while you're still in all that mess, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to die for you. And so let's talk about that a little bit. Because in church we talk about that, right? Like Jesus died. Well, yeah, he died. We get it. But let's talk about that for a moment. Not to be too dramatic, but it likely played out like this. If you've seen the movie Passion of the Christ or some other movies like that, it probably played out a lot like this. See, Jesus was arrested, he was tried for really committing no crime and found guilty. He was sentenced to death. And so instead of simply nailing him to a cross, they gave him the full range of things. They said, well, we're going to flog you first. And so Jesus, the Son of God, the one who loves you so much in order to redeem you, in order to save you, in order to rescue you, said, I have to pay the price. This was a choice that he had to make. He didn't want to do it. He even told his father, he said, well, it's not that he didn't want to do it, but he was scared to do it. And he said to his father in heaven, he said, look, if there's any way this can be taken from me, I'm willing to do it because I love my people so much. I'm willing to do it because I care so deeply about them, but I'm scared. But while we were still sinners, he loved us so much that he was stripped, possibly naked. And these men got out this flog. And custom was, they'd hit you about 39 times with this weapon, which was just strips of leather, but intertwined were balls of lead and pieces of bone. And so the idea was literally this, as Jesus was struck, as the victim was struck there, not only would the leather leave deep lacerations on your back, but the balls of lead would leave deep, deep tissue bruises to be countered by, to be, I guess, relieved by these shards of bone woven into the leather, which would literally dig their nails into your skin, into your flesh. And so here's Jesus in this moment, stripped down. He's leaning against this piece of wood, likely, and they take this and they flog him repeatedly over and over and over again, literally to with such emphasis, such impact that as they strike him, the deep tissue bruises are forming, and then the whip would actually find itself lodged in his flesh, and the guard would actually have to rip it out of his body. Pieces of the victim, pieces of Jesus, just probably flying all over the place, exposing bone and muscle and rib cages, and literally ripping the victim to shreds. As they do this over and over on the side and the back and probably up towards the neck and the legs, just destroying this man. His beard was actually, they were so cruel, they actually would take handfuls of his beard and rip it from his face. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. They took a piece of material or a bag of some sort and put it over his head, and they took rods and they would beat him, strike him on the head, mocking him, saying, Jesus, who's hitting you? Hey, who's hitting you now, right? Like, you're God, so you should know who's hitting you now. And they spat on him and mocked him. And they took a crown of thorns and they pushed it deeply into his head, into the top of his head. And if that wasn't enough, many didn't even survive that cruelty. Then they drag his cross and say, here it is, buddy. Now you're going to carry it to the place that we're going to murder you. He's already dehydrated. He's already lost blood. And here he is. He has to now, on his open, bleeding back, has to carry the splintered, broken cross up the trail to where he'll die, the place of the skull. And he's so destroyed by the beating that he can't even make it all the way there, and someone has to help him carry the cross. And it's there where they stretch his arms, they drive a stake in each wrist, they put one foot on top of the other, drive a stake between or into his feet. And historians believe this. They believe that it was likely by suffocation that an individual would die on the cross. Because the way your body would hang, you literally could not breathe. The only way to get a breath was to pull yourself up on the stakes in your hands and your wrists, which would have been excruciating. While we were still sinners, Jesus died for us. So let me introduce you to another character. And he has a lot of names. But we'll just call him this morning, we'll just call him the devil. And if I were to tell you some personality traits of who the devil is and what the devil does and how the devil functions, he looks a lot like this. This is who he is. He's a liar. He's a cheat. He's a perverter. He's a sinner. He's a tempter. He's a destroyer. And here's what's so wild is that, see, as Jesus would do anything and did do the most important thing to save us, to rescue us from ourselves, that as we are sinners, without Jesus, we are not redeemed. We do not have an opportunity for hope or life outside of him. And so we aren't where we need to be with him, meaning essentially this: if we are not for Jesus, then we're going to hell. And where Jesus would do anything and everything to rescue us from that, and he did through the cross, he did through the empty tomb that we talked about last week, as Jesus wants to redeem us and rescue us from our sins and went through everything, every beating, every torture he could to do that. The devil just wants to destroy you. Why? Because the devil hates you. John 10, verse 10, one of my favorite passages. It paints this picture so well. It says this. It says, this is Jesus saying this. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy." The thief comes to steal and to kill and destroy. And I want you to think about that for a moment. Literally, there's one whose objective, if you were to say, what is his mission statement? What is he trying to accomplish in his time or his anti-ministry on earth? The devil has one objective, and it's to destroy you. He wants to steal and to kill and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your hope. He wants to steal your happiness. He wants to take it, and he wants to do everything he can to steal it, and then he wants to kill us. He wants to kill opportunity. He wants to kill our hope. He really wants to take us to this place where we feel a lack or a lost sort of meandering through this world. He wants to destroy us. See, the way I see it, it looks like this. Literally, there is one who, as Jesus puts it, who comes to steal, kill, destroy. There's one who hates you. But then here's what Jesus says about himself now. He says this. On the other hand, he says, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Amen? Jesus said, look, there may be one who's coming to destroy us. There may be one who wants to steal and kill and destroy and who hates you. But listen, I have come, some translations say, I come to give you a rich and satisfying life. Others say this, I come to give you an abundant life. Jesus says, I come to give you the best life. That doesn't mean the easiest life. That doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery. That doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. But I come to give you the best life because the best life you can have is in me because it's apart from the one who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I come to love you. And here's how I see this. Literally, scripture tells us there's one who loves us and there's one who hates us. There's one who loves us and there's one who despises us and hates us and wants the worst for us. So let me tell you about my buddy Jimmy. A couple years ago, I was preaching a sermon and it was a pretty heavy topic. And so as we would do from time to time, we had an invitation at the end of this message. And we said, look, if you just need someone to pray with, if you need someone to talk with, if you're wrestling with some stuff, we want you to come forward. And that day, we had a number of people come forward. It was a pretty heavy day. And as I'm standing off to the side, kind of just waiting to receive people, I saw this man coming from a distance. And I could tell that he had a beard that probably hadn't been touched in a few months. He had sort of long, greasy hair. He looked like he was probably a child of the 60s, something like that. And as he approached closer, I could see the bags under his eyes and the tears streaming down his cheeks. I could see as he got closer, and I could smell as he grew closer that there was an aroma of alcohol, not only on his breath, but probably just seeping out of his pores. And Jimmy broke down and started to share with me. He said, Ryan, you don't understand. He said, I'm just going through a lot of stuff. And his life was literally like a country song. It was like, man, I lost my job. My wife left me. He said, I've got this addiction that I cannot shake. I cannot beat. He said, I'm so depressed. I can't even get up in the morning. I live in this old beat up trailer park just right down the street. And I knew exactly where he was talking because we'd done a lot of trips in there as a church to fix some of these things up. And a lot of these things would be, if the city knew how bad they were, man, they'd kick people out of those things. So I talked with Jimmy, I prayed with Jimmy, but I knew this wasn't a situation where I was going to send him on his way. Hey, man, I'm praying for you. Good luck. I told him, I said, Jimmy, here's what I need you to do. I want you to find me in the lobby after service, and we're going to exchange phone numbers, and I want to get together with you this week. He said, all right. After the service, we met up in the lobby. We exchanged phone numbers. I went home that evening. The next day, I got a phone call. I missed the call from Jimmy. I could tell in his voicemail, though, he was still struggling. He was wrestling. He said he was feeling a little bit better after, sort of letting go of some stuff on Sunday morning, but he was still struggling. He was still wrestling with some stuff, and to give him a call back if I could. And I'll confess to you today, I was pretty swamped. I was pretty busy. I had a trip coming up around the corner, and so it took me about a day or two to get back to him. I called Jimmy back. I tried to connect with him, and I got his voicemail. And so I called him again the next day, and I got his voicemail, and I just said, hey, Jimmy, look, I'm getting ready to head out of town. I really want to meet with you before I can go, but the ball's in your court. Give me a call, man. I never heard back. I took off for Indianapolis, had a week-long speaking engagement there, and as I was in Indianapolis about halfway through the week, I got a call from one of the associate pastors at the church I was at, informing me that Jimmy had taken his life. The family wanted me to do the funeral when I got back. And I remember being on the phone that day. It's sort of being bombarded by a bunch of emotions, but the predominant one being this, I was angry. I was angry, and I wasn't angry with Jimmy. You know what I was angry with? The evil one. Because I don't know about you guys, but I am sick and tired of stories like Jimmy's. I'm sick and tired of the evil one, the one who comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I'm sick and tired of this guy who has guys like Jimmy who are just down on their luck and they're struggling, they're wrestling, and everything in their life is just the devil just beating down and beating down that steal, kill, destroy. And I'm just sick and tired of it. I'm tired of the devil destroying families. I'm tired of him destroying marriages. I'm tired of him destroying lives. I'm tired of this depression. So I'm tired of it. And I know that in the end, as we talked about last week, Jesus says, look, you may strike my heel, but I'm going to crush your head, devil. But the reality is this, you and I are in the middle of a cosmic tug of war. On one side is the one who hates you, and on the other is the one who loves you. On the one side is the one who comes to steal and kill and destroy, and on the other is this man who said, I died for you while you were still a sinner, while you were still in your mess. I was there to provide a sacrifice that would give you eternal life. And here's what's crazy, as they're tugging back and forth, trying to prompt us towards a decision for one or the other, the reality is this, you're the tipping point. It's your choice. Are you going to choose the one today who loves you, or are you going to choose the one who hates you? Are you going to choose the one who says it's all for you? Are you going to choose the one who says it's all to destroy you? And here's what's wild. I need you to hear this, because maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, I get it. This is important. I get it. But I don't know about today. I don't know. And I just want you to know this. And I'm not trying to be dramatic. I'm not trying to move anybody somewhere they're not comfortable with. But I just want to say this. I want you to know this. By not making a choice, you're making a choice. So I have this rope. This is a long rope. I got it all tangled up. And I want to show you this rope really quick before we go into this. This rope right here, this represents you, okay? This is your soul. This is your life. This is you. And I want you to look right here. This is like kind of like your timeline, right? But I want you to look right here, because what we have right here, if this is you, if this is your soul, your life, your timeline, this right here in the big scope of things, this is your time on earth. See, in all this, well, this is eternity. All this, this is what comes after these 70, 80, 90 years that we have. And the reality is this, there's some of us that are looking at this and we're so concerned about, like, oh my goodness, if I hope I save enough money for like this part, like right here, right? Or man, I'm so concerned with like the decision that affects this moment right here. And today I want you to know that you have an opportunity to make a decision, the most important decision, the most important choice that you will ever make in your whole life, between the one who hates you and the one that loves you. And it doesn't just affect this. Now it does affect this, but it doesn't just affect this. It affects this. Don't miss this opportunity today. In Acts 2, there's this beautiful moment where Peter's preaching this sermon. And as he's preaching, he's sharing the gospel, and he's telling the people, there are thousands of people, he's saying, look, there's this guy, Jesus, who would do anything for you, who would die for you, who did die for you, and who paid the ultimate price for you, and don't you want to live for him? And all the people that were there, thousands of people, they were convicted, says they were cut to the heart, and they were like, yes, we want to respond. And I don't know how it played out. I don't know if Peter was just like, hey, look, Jesus is what it's all about, and then just kind of left them hanging, but they went to him, and they said, look, what do we do? How do we respond? What's that look like? And here's what he says. He says, repent and be baptized. And so today we want to give you that opportunity. Maybe you're sitting here today and you're cut to the heart and you're thinking about that sacrifice that Jesus made for you and you're saying, I need to respond. That was the response biblically. When people wanted to make a decision for Jesus, it was, hey, let's go find the creek. Let's go find the lake. Let's go get baptized today. And so I realized this a couple of years ago. I was thinking about the Holy Spirit, and maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, well, I don't know, like I feel like God's prompted me. How do I respond? How do I respond to the Holy Spirit? Here it is. You ready? This is deep. This is theological. This is huge. You ready for this? The question, how do you respond to the Holy Spirit's prompting my heart? Here it is. You ready? You say yes. He's never going to lead you somewhere he doesn't want you to go. So today, are you ready to say yes? I'm going to be standing over here to the side. We're going to be standing over here, just a few of us on staff. And if you're ready, if you're ready to make that decision, again, maybe you didn't come here today thinking that you're going to be baptized. Hey, we've got everything ready for you. We've got towels. We've got a change of clothes for you to get baptized into, and then you can get back into your regular clothes. We have everything taken care of. Everything's ready. What's stopping you? The choice today is between the one who loves you and the one who hates you. Are you ready? So let's stand. And as we sing this next song, would you simply come and make this decision today? Father, move in this place, stir in this place, work in this place. May your Spirit move in a powerful way. And may we be people who respond to that Spirit with this simply declaration, yes, 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 we're coming. Father, we adore you. We know that you are good. Thank you for being the one who loves us. And Father, may we today put aside the junk of the evil one who says, I came to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, may we turn to the one who loves us. We pray this in Jesus' name.